Hey, it's me, Katie here. Grab a notebook and a cuppa and join me in the Sociology Staff Room. Hello and welcome to the Sociology Staff Room. I'm Katie Tyler and I'm super excited to have Kate Flatby with us again as our guest, as our guru, multitasker extraordinaire. I'm just going to give a quick introduction for those people that have been living under a rock and don't know who you are. Obviously, a sociology teacher as just sort of fundamentals, I suppose, but obviously a great contributor of sociology resources as the teacher's sociology. In addition to that, you know, in management as well within your job, also being a parent, also exercising. I mean, I need to spend more time with you, finding not just about sociology, not just about provision, but just life hacks. I think like it should just be life hacks with Kate Flatley, but we're here to talk about provision. Maybe that could be another episode potentially. But yeah, provision. We're getting to that time of the year now, aren't we? It's thinking about revision. Our students are thinking about revision. We're in that last little bit of the sort of 2 to 3 months period-ish, maybe even less than that, really, of getting into the exam modes. Students might be going on study leave as well, so we've got less contact time with students. So come on then, Kate. What is effective revision then? What does it mean? What does it look like?
I think, you know, with effective revision, it's got to be active. I think when you chat to students, and I speak to a lot of students, and they're not just sociology students in my role, and I say to them, what are you doing? And they'll say, oh, I go over things. And it's not just going over things. For revision to be effective, they've got to be making the brain work. And I think if we understand how people learn and how memory works, that's how you can make your revision as effective as possible. So I briefly mentioned that one of our teachers has done her advanced teacher status, and her project was about retrieval, because one of the biggest worries that we have about being a teacher is how do we prepare for students for an exam when we've taught 2 years worth of content and everything is all in at the end of 2 years. And that was her biggest anxiety. I think it's our biggest anxiety as well as teachers. And what she found was that students were just reading, going over, and it wasn't sticking. And that leads the students to feel disheartened. It leads them to feel unmotivated because they think it doesn't work. What's the point? And so what she did as part of a project, she looked at retrieval and she drew on works from Rose and Shine. She looked at strategies that Kate Jones had talked about. There was other bits of research that she had a little bit of a look at as well. And what she found was that learning the content or having your lesson on the content and then retrieval was a lot more effective than just recapping knowledge. And what we've got to remember as well, as teachers, we don't want to be having to reteach content. That just is demotivating as a teacher. It is exhausting. And really, we want the students to be doing a lot more. Okay, so I think that is your effective strategy, is to start to embed retrieval and start doing it as soon as possible, as soon as you've learnt something. Right, what do we remember from last week? So what we looked at doing was incorporating a range of different retrieval strategies and making sure that it was low stakes, so students weren't getting stress anxiety about it. It became a normal part of revision. We were modeling it in class, so then it meant that students were able to replicate it at home. It wasn't just one strategy, it was a range of different teaching strategies. So they might have used mind maps, they might have done like mini quizzes, or they might have done Kahoot or Quizlet or whatever apps that you might be using for retrieval. They made it weekly, so students got into a routine, they knew what to expect. So we've got little gimmicks like Flashback Friday and Throwback Thursday. Students start to get used to it. But the key part of it was putting the ownership back on students. So as we started to do the retrieval strategies that were weekly, the bits that they were forgetting, we were saying to them, right, that's what you need to revise this weekend. You're going to write it on a flashcard. You are going to make sure that you're going to go over that content, because it will appear again in our flashbacks Fridays and throwbacks Thursdays. So you need to have it ready for then. And it started to give ownership a little bit more to the students. It started to build them connections in the brain where they were having to go back time and time again, and it wasn't about reteaching, it was about retrieval. And so that's, in a nutshell, is probably a really effective strategy that you might want to start to think about doing.
So basically, my takeaway from that is that, you know, effective revision is active revision, you know, yeah, students not being passive doing that. And then something that starts as early, I suppose it's obviously a little bit, if we're not there yet with our 13s, but starting as soon as we meet them, say in year 12, and it's something you do on either weekly or even a daily basis, and then throwing it back to the students. What potentially, I'm just playing devil's advocate there, I suppose then, is it the responsibility of the students? What happens if the students aren't doing that? Like, as in, say you've set that as a piece of homework that they've got to do, that, like the filling the gaps.
Yeah, so basically the retrieval strategies are happening in the classroom. It's like 10 or 15 minutes at the start of that lesson three per week. And it is something where, as they arrive, so what we might have on the board is something like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So it could be name 5 explanations for class differences in educational achievement, 4 key names associated with, I suppose, labelling theory or something like that. And then they can gradually get harder. So it might be 1 evaluation or really 1 high IIN thing, or it could be 3 questions. So as they come into the classroom, they're doing some sort of retrieval, and then you're going through it with them. You're saying, okay, here's the possible answers. If you forgot it, it's not a problem. You know, it's sort of like saying to students, it's okay to forget, because a really important of revision is forgetting. And when you do forget it, you probably only forget it once because you don't like that feeling, and then you do something about it. So I think is incorporating it into your revision, into lessons, and then them going away and doing that retrieval at home as well, based on the gap that you've sort of exposed.
And then carrying on doing that in their own time. And do you find that most students do that? Like, do you find that they are going back in and sort of unpicking those bits that they don't know? I know you said it's not about, it's low stakes, isn't it? It's like you said, quick activities at the beginning. I know before we started recording, you said that actually a lot of these things are stuff that we're probably already doing. Maybe more consistent, or making it part of our sort of our planning as such. Do you find that most students are doing that at home, like sort of picking up the gaps?
I think once they start to see the benefits and they start to see it working, that's when you get the buy-in. You're not going to get the buy-in from students to revise if you just say to them, go out and revise, because the common problem is students don't know how to revise. And we've got to remember, this cohort, they did not sit exams at GCSE. Our year ones did, our year 12s did, but our year twos didn't. So it is sort of guiding them to say, okay, do you know how to revise? Okay, let's model it in class. This is a revision strategy. We're going to spend time making flashcards. Okay, we're going to spend 5 minutes based on the current topic or something like that. Right, now you need to do it for an earlier topic. So if we model that behavior, it does make it that little bit easier to get that student buy-in, and it just means that they become a little bit more confident. And if they see the benefits, then you're going to get the buy-in.
Yeah, and it's like a strategy that doesn't happen overnight. Obviously, like you said, it's that spiral effect potentially. And also, I think it's just really important there is that this modelling idea that actually we assume that students know what revision is, but unless we show them what that looks like, obviously you do your sort of start with a retrieval practice, but actually going home and embedding that, it's like modelling, or what does a good flashcard look like? Or what does, I don't know, peer quizzing look like? I just think to myself, I've just asked the students, I'm very much of that idea, so I always have an activity. I was definitely overwhelmed by like the ideas of Rosenstein, so I actually do it daily in all my lessons as a sort of a starter activity, or do it now, whatever schools call it, but as they walk in. I actually started to get them every single piece of homework is getting them to make that activity for me, so, and for their peers and for them, so they're not actually, that you don't have to do the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that they could be making it up for the class. But then again, I think it's, like you said, it's a bit of practice and them doing that. In regards to sort of any other potential pitfalls from two categories, you know, because obviously we've talked about this is going to work, this works. And say you are a head of department or you have a head of faculty job in regards to sociology or another subject, because it's not exclusive to sociology or the social sciences. What are the potential pitfalls, if that's something you want to bring in, with potentially staff initially and then potentially students? Sometimes it might be the staff and the students have got it or vice versa. What are the potential pitfalls, but also how we overcome them?
So I would say the potential pitfalls is not seeing the benefit, because sometimes doing things like retrieval, it does take a little bit of time. It does eat into a lesson, you know, and when you're getting closer to exams and time is so much precious, it's all about just getting through content. It's all about getting to the end type thing. And I think it's sort of flipping the mindset to say, look, this is actually important. And if you think about it, you know, I would say with sociology, a lot of it is synoptic. So a lot of the students will have some of the schemas there already. So actually some of the things that you'll probably be teaching at year two, they probably get a little bit quicker. So like, for example, if they've done effectively in year one, labelling in school, labelling with crime should be quite straightforward, and it shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't take long to teach. But actually embedding that retrieval is a perfect opportunity there as well. So I think to get the buy-in, you've got to see the successes. That's when you will get buy-in, is when people start to see the benefits of doing it.
Yeah, for both students and staff, is that from both respects? Yeah, and like you said, I think sociology is one of those. I feel like we're quite lucky to teach sociology. I feel that because we are synoptic, I think it does. I said to the students, you know, I think for us, that if we're to draw a graph, I actually think sociology just gets easier and easier and easier and easier and easier because we've got, like you said, the word schemas are all in place. And so you use labelling, it goes across. If you look at subcultures, it goes across. And so globalisation goes across. And so actually, a lot of that's already in place. Whereas I think the hard bit is your first 6 months. So especially if you haven't done it at GCSE, it's like, what are all these theories and these concepts? And so actually, it's about building. And that's why probably retrieval is so good, because you can sort of draw those links consistently. I would say to students, you'll get that aha moment, but it has to be consistency on their part. As we're sort of getting closer to the exams, and obviously now we're sort of in that last bit, obviously retrieval is something you probably do ideally, obviously you still want to be doing retrieval, but that's something that starts day one, you know, first lesson in. Obviously you might even be retrieving stuff, potentially just general knowledge from your life, I mean, like that, or other subjects particularly. Tell me what you already know about communism from those who did history or whatever it might be. What about this last? We've got this sort of small plan in place. I know different schools do it differently. Some do like a 30-day plan or a 60-day plan. How do we maximise the time now where we actually potentially have quite a short window? I know they're saying that there's potentially some teachers doing content. I
definitely be doing your RAG rating of topics. You know, get the spec, or get a breakdown of the different topics, paper one, paper two, paper three, get your students to RAG rate it, identify your common denominators, because there will be common denominators. If that question came up, they would struggle or whatever. It might be because there was disruption in year one when demography was being taught or something like that. So definitely identify your gaps. Okay, because then you can action those gaps, because there will be parts of the course that students will be confident with no end, if that makes sense. There'll be certain topics where they will be quite happy with because it's an enjoyable topic. Like, for example, your students are probably like mine. They'll probably say, oh, if childhood came up, we'd be all right. You know, it's like they like that topic, you know. Or if there was class and achievement, you know, if you remember, that was a past exam question. And students did pretty well on it because it was like a topic that they really engage with. So it might be just identifying, so getting yourself a plan, identifying your topics which are your sore topics, if that makes sense, and then breaking down the rest, working out how long have you got and breaking down into like a bit more of a weekly plan. But I think we've sort of not mentioned about exam and exam technique. And I think the really important part with revision, and this is one of the common problems with revision, is that students spend a lot of time revising content. It's like, I've got to revise, I've got to revise, I've got to revise content. And it's about, I've made this beautiful mind map, I've made 400 flashcards, I'm learning this content and it's there. But unless they can apply it to an exam question, they're going to fall down. So it is sort of planning the way that you do your revision, where you say, okay, we're going to revise a little bit of content here. We're going to spend 10, 15 minutes revising, I don't know, something from, say, sociology and science. But now we're going to apply it to an exam question. Now we're going to check the mark scheme. And I think that is a massive problem, is that students focus on the retrieval and then they neglect the exam technique. And they've got to have that equal balance of both. They really do.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think sometimes it's not the, I think I spoke about this with someone else and I can't remember who. I talk about things like this all the time with various people, that whether they want to listen or not. But basically, you know, it's not the most, I suppose how you deliver it. Sometimes it's not maybe the most fun bit, or it's the bit that's like the elephant in the room and you sort of have to do it. But ultimately, yeah, the content, you're sort of unpicking, you're having debates, you're having human bar graphs. I'm just trying to think of sort of, you know, just discussing, debating, maybe applying it to an image, a song, whatever it is you decide to do. But ultimately, like you said, they're going to be assessed by an exam and they're going to have to put that into that structure. And whether that's writing exam questions or planning them at that stage, they have to be familiar to the language and how it's laid out, whatever exam board that you go to. Is there a way? I mean, obviously you said looking at mark schemes, and you can do like waggles, and you can use your visualizer, and you can get them to part of a paragraph, or, you know, another one does another, you can swap them. But is there any sort of other exciting ways to make it engaging for students? That's a bit.
No, I would definitely say, you know, use the exam papers to your advantage, because sociology is quite unique in the fact that if you look at paper one and paper three in terms, well, actually across the papers, they only have to get the heads round a 4 and a 6, a 10 and a 10, and an essay, a 30 or whether it's a 20 or a 30, and your methods in context. So actually, in terms of exam skills, there's not actually a lot, if that makes sense, if you think about it that way, because actually, you know, I know exam papers, like some subjects will have totally different things that they've got to do for three papers, and it's totally different. Whereas we can say to our students, right, you've got, for crime and education, 4 and 6 markers, you answered them in exactly the same way. It's the same applied technique. So you could group them together in a revision strategy, okay? You could look at 10 marks applying from an item. So again, you're going to get that on your topics. You're going to get it in crime. You're going to get it in education. So again, you would do your strategy, and then you would branch out. Okay, so if we've got a question on crime, how would we do it? But it's the same technique, yeah? So it's sort of like thinking, you know, about your strategy that way as well. You know, your revision stress sessions, rather than focusing it on a topic, focus it on an exam question, and then buy in your different questions from your different papers. I think maybe looking at exams that way to your advantage would be a bit better.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. It totally makes sense. I mean, having a session on just 4 and 6, like short questions over a couple of days makes sense. And then, like you said, maybe scooping sort of maybe the content bit. But then I suppose by doing it that way, you've also shown the synopsisity of the subject. So obviously there might not be, but
your questions together, you know, like, for example, we had an assessment that was on. So basically our revision strategy for sociology is that, so they start year two and we do crime and deviance. We ask them to do retrieval grids one a week on education, okay? Because we know that when we're doing 4 and 6 markers in crime, they can be doing the 4 and 6 markers in education at the same time, okay? So then after Christmas, we go on to paper two. We're doing beliefs in class. They're revising family at home. So for example, one of the assessments that they did was 10 markers. So they had a 10 marker, which was on functions of the family, but they also had a 10 marker, which was like the function and the role of religion. So it was sort of like getting them that synopticity, that same link. And it's a lot of the same sociologists that you talk about at the same time and making it that way. And I think, you know, that will help students as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's like, I think you said like, that was, I think I've spoken about before, but this sort of value for money sociologist like Rebecca, and I'm trying to think who else, Willis maybe, and so on and so on, Althusser there, that you use more than once, that you can use across topics. Additional to that, I think you were saying as well, is, and I don't know, again, it's just, it's one way, and I personally use that same method, is the stuff that where you're doing assessments, whether that's like an end of topic assessment as such, but to incorporate other units, like you said, maybe put, so for myself, the other day, I actually teach cultural identity now, not family, but I had a couple of education questions in there because that was the last bit we taught. So it's just keeping that, so then the retrieval makes sense because you're still assessing them in class, and it keeps that sort of, I don't know, the consistency of skills and remind students how to do them. Just a quick one, and I know I appreciate your time, and I sort of thought quick one because I know that we could talk about this forever. I know you've started doing this. It's a slight segue because obviously it does link into revision, because I know that you do a lot of flip learning outside of lesson, whether that's content driven or whether that's revision and retrieval from what you've just said. Can you just explain how you do assessments? It's sort of a leading question because I know the answer to this. So do you do all your lessons? Basically, I know that you do all your lessons, assessments in lesson rather than as homework as such, don't you? Tell me a little bit and tell us, the audience, a little bit about that, because I'm personally really interested in that. I hear what you're doing, but I'd love to know from the horse's mouth as such. Yeah.
Do you mean the assessment strategy type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, for example, we do a formal assessment on each topic. So, and we do like a bit more of a knowledge check as well. So we do that quite easily. What we do is I've got a Quizlet set for every single topic. And basically, so whilst they're learning that topic, they can be playing Quizlet independently. And then I just go on Quizlet and say print test, and it prints it out and they answer that, and it's self-marked as well. So that's the knowledge part of it. So that's really easy to manage. And then at the same time, we have a formal assessment. So our formal assessment will be based on the current topic, but it'll also be on a topic that we'll be asked them to revise. Okay, so this is where I've stolen from Hectic Teacher. I'm using the revision, you know, the knowledge organisers. So we've giving each student a copy of those, but we break it up to them. We basically say to them, this week you are revising that. You're revising topic one from that, and your next assessment will have a question from that, but you'll also have your current topic as well. And we try to do it that way, just to encourage a little bit of independence of revision. And, you know, we incorporate it into lesson times. We say, get your revision grids out. You've got 5 minutes. We stick a little activity, a retrieval activity. And then as a result of it, we'll say, right, that will help you with your retrieval grids. Right now, you're going to apply it to an exam question. So it's sort of like filling in the gaps, if that makes sense. So hopefully students have no gaps at all. They've covered everything, and we've practiced enough exam questions as well.
And you do a lot of them. You do them in lesson time, like via assessments and such. Yeah, rather than for homework.
Yeah, yeah. Just because, you know, I would say, I said to students yesterday, I said, I don't set you homework. You know, your homework is one, making sure that, like, the way that we teach, we've got like course booklets, and in those course booklets there's practice questions, there are exam questions, there are quick check questions, there are like a glossary of terms. Your homework is just filling that in. If you fill that in, you're basically revising and doing exam practice at the same time. So it's sort of like getting students to do that. And all I have to do is just check that they're doing it. And then, you know, they get the feedback from me, whether it's informally in the lesson or whether it's via a formal assessment type thing. But, you know, I try to use like different revision strategies as well. For example, I quite like using Nearpod quite a lot, because that means that students can type answers. I can do a quick scan. So an example that we did yesterday, we looked at something like outline and explain two changes in society that have impacted the birth rates. I gave them the list. You can choose any of these these reasons. You've just got to tell me what the reason is and how has it impacted the birth rate, because we're encouraging cross-topic links. Anonymously picked up one and I just said to students, right, read through that paragraph. What's really good about it? What do you love about it? Why is that going to get the marks? And then they said, oh, yeah, it's really, really good. And as I'm listening, I'm saying, yeah, they said it affects the birth rate, but they've not indicated how. They've not said it's going down. So I said, right, let's give this person a little bit of, you know, constructive feedback that they can take forward. And the students just critiqued it. And then the fact that they're recognising, they've got to be very direct in that answer, is really, really powerful.
Definitely.
You take a lot from it, yeah.
And I think it takes the stakes down, doesn't it, as well, with regards to the sort of, if you do the revision outside a lesson, the in-class assessments don't feel as like, what's the word I'm looking for? Daunting for the students, so anxiety driven, because it's like you said earlier, if they don't know, it's okay, because ultimately that's where they revise and actually it's not their final grade. It all makes sense. I love talking to you.
Do you know what? That's just such a powerful thing. You know, remember, we're teaching that, like, about student expectations. You know, it's one of the biggest takeaways is the power of teacher expectations and the way that you respond to students and their revision, you know, and, you know, and if they forget it in the lesson, you say, this is perfect. It doesn't matter, because this is why we're revising, you know, and it sort of demystifies that, you know. Another strategy that I use is that we're trying to hold students a little bit more accountable, you know, to doing practice questions. We're really pushing forward, get on the exam board, print off mark schemes, you know, print off exam questions, have a go. We've given them question banks. We want you to be doing it. Now, I've got a really good relationship. I teach 2 year 2 groups, just because of my role now, and I've got a really good relationship, so I know I can name each student and they can go around the class and say, what are you handing in to me today? What are you handing in to me today? And some of them will say, oh, I've got nothing today. And you can see them go, the first time I did it, they were like, I've got nothing. And I'm like, but it's nothing yet. You will, even if it's a 4-mark question. And I make a big deal of it. So the next round, the next lesson, I had 6 or 7 students handing me something in. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting so excited. You know what I mean? I go proper over the top. You can imagine what I'm like in the classroom. It's like I've got like so much energy. I'm like, oh my God, that's absolutely amazing. I'm so pleased. You know, you're making me earn my money. You know, when I tell these students that, you know, and then, you know, and then this one student, she gives me a whole paper one. And I was like, oh my God. And so I tell the other group and I say to the other group, oh, you've got to up your game now. They're handing in full past papers now. The other group, come on, you've got to beat the other class, you know. And that little bit of competition, you know, it really does, you know, just, I'm saying, you know, and I'm realizing what I'm saying now. It really does can encourage students in that way, even the most reluctant of students.
I think so, yeah. I hear you and I hear your energy. I mean, who wouldn't feel enthused by working with you? I mean, it's infectious. And I think that's another thing on the part of, yes, we've got all these strategies. There's an analogy I used the other day to someone. Again, I love an analogy, by the way. I was saying to someone, you know, teaching is obviously, you can use the recipe book, okay, and it's really good, it's a good starting point, but it doesn't make you a chef. And sometimes it's just that passion, you know, that, like, in teaching you can have all the strategies in, which are great, but obviously speaking to someone like yourself, you can see the passion, the flair that comes through, and it's only infectious, as you know, I'm sure your team and your students sense that as well. So I'm going off to make some resources. That's what I'm going to go and do. I'm going to start tweaking my assessment strategy.
I think, you know, if you're bringing that to the table, there's something, you know, start to match your energy type thing.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You will start to match it, you know, and yeah, so I've got a nice little pile of, as well as the last formal assessment that they've done, I do have a pile of things that they've had a go at, a little practice. I don't mark them in the same way. It is quick scan, because otherwise it will be overwhelming. So I don't want to be adding to people's workload in that respect. But it's just saying, you know, I even just look at it and go, do you know what? Just looking at that, that'll be top band. That's it. And they're going, okay, that's all I wanted. I just wanted confirmation that I've practiced this question all right. That's all they want, the students. So that yeah, I don't want to give people work.
Yeah, and I think it's giving people options, isn't it, with students? Like you said, like this, I think you talked about like a book that you had and of different ways to resource, revise. So you can have like obviously short questions in there, you can have mind maps, a power list, whatever you decide to have in there, including, you know, even just planning essays. Sometimes when they've got strong literacy skills, actually isn't the writing bit, it might be just planning it out in their head and what they would include it. So there's so many different ways, and obviously,
I've stolen so many things in my lessons just by watching the tutor to you revision things, you know, like the bubble, you know, the odd one out, or you know, those little gimmicky things. I've tried to put that into my lesson as well, or into my revision sessions. You know, here's the 60-second challenge, it's a match it one, you know, and it's really quick retrieval, but it sort of gets the brain working type thing. So then when you do chuck that exam question at them, they've got that little bit there where you've just prepped them for it, you know what I mean? So I think as well, just really engaging with the amount of support that there is out there for everybody, getting up to the weekly revision sessions that, you know, Tutor to You are holding, you know, little videos here and there. It's, you know, the reason why I do it is to save time. You know, it is, I create a video, but then it yields me so much time back in future. So like a student might say to me, oh, I've missed today's revision session, I did it on methods in context, for example, but here's a video which will give you a little bit of a breakdown of how I did it actually, so you can watch that and then you've still took something away from it, you know, those types of things. So I think embracing the range of resources that's out there, definitely, you know, you're not alone. Use what different teachers have put out there and what
have you. Wealth of it. I mean, you just go look at the Facebook page, how much people are sharing, and it's amazing. And also thank you to you for sharing all your YouTube videos. They're amazing. Yeah. I think they're so good and so pragmatic as well.
It just started about, like, you know, I didn't want to have to reteach things. You do it in a lesson and then a student misses it, you have to do it again type thing. And I've also found it really useful when I've got new teachers that are coming through in the department and they'll say, oh, we just need a little bit of guidance with exam technique. It's all right, I've got a video on it, it's fine, you know what I mean? And then, and that's how it's sort of grown. And I sort of like, the way, I don't really have a plan with my videos, I sort of like see where the gaps are and I see what my students are doing and I'll say, oh, well, we had a look at that one. So I did one a few weeks ago about the reasons why, was it reasons why social objective or something like that. Yeah. And when I looked at them, and I thought, you know what, students did panic with that question type thing. And that's where it comes from. It's just identifying the gaps and sort of being very reactive at that time. So that I don't have any plan, rhyme or reason to my videos, that whatever pops up that week.
Well, that's good though. It's, you know, it's amazing that you're contributing to the community like that, and obviously I personally appreciate it, and I know that other teachers do as well, as well as everything else that you do. This is what I'm saying, this is what I need another session on, just Kate Flatley's life hacks, exciting.
Being very organised. Have a very good planner and lots of post-it notes.
There we go. That's key. Who doesn't like post-it? Oh, look, there we go. That's in front of me now. That's my plan. You know, I won't show you what I've written on there, but I've written stuff on there. Partly ideas have you said, actually. So I'll stick them and I'll do some actioning with that. But thank you for your time, as always, Kate. I've always felt energised and enthused after I've spoken to you. I wish you lived closer, or I lived closer to you. We'd have such a great time.
I might be down your neck of the woods soon anyway. So if I am, I'll get in touch with you.
Definitely. Please do. Oh, well, you take care and have a lovely day, evening, rest of the weekend. Thank you.
It's the weekend.
Woohoo! Take care. See you later. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Sociology Staff Room is brought to you by Tutor to You Sociology. Find us at tutortoyou.net/sociology or follow us on Twitter at @tutortousoc or Instagram at @tutortousoc. You can also join our very lively Facebook groups for sociology teachers. See you soon.